the subject this morning, Dead in Adam and Alive in Christ. This week, the administration of our government gave something like $1 billion. That seems like a lot of money. $1 billion to the government of Colombia for the purpose of fighting drugs, the so-called war on drugs. My almost immediate and instantaneous response when I heard that was, I wonder why we can't give $1 billion to institutions within our own country to promote the instruction of ethical values and morals and character in our country. Well, we wouldn't want to do that. And I wonder why. Because morality and character are connected too tightly to religion, and we wouldn't want to promote religion in our country. We certainly wouldn't want to do that. Well, maybe I'm showing my bias here a little bit. But at any rate, we really do need the development of morality and ethics, and we do need the promotion of not only religion, but of true Christianity in our country and in our nation and in our world. And one of the reasons is that Christianity teaches the true root of the problem, such as the drug problem. And the true root of it is sin, which is overcome by Jesus Christ. And that's what our text is about this morning. It, on one hand, seems a little bit negative, but we have to get the bad news out of the way, do we not, to properly understand the good news. Romans chapter 5 again. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him who is to come. And there we find Jesus Christ. And so I want us to look at this text this morning and understand what Paul is talking about as he bears down on this topic of sin, and then we relate it to, I hope, in a very personal way for all of us, in a very pointed way for all of us, to Jesus Christ. And the note at the head of the outline gives the thrust of what I'm interested in. We die in Adam, whether we believe it or not. We are made alive in Christ only if we trust in Him and His righteousness. And so it is. May God help us in this understanding. Let's look at the text then. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We read moments ago from Genesis 3, and we heard once again that story in which Adam and Eve, faced by the tempter, the devil, through the serpent, whom Genesis 3 says is more crafty than all the other creatures in the garden. He is more crafty, and he comes to Adam and Eve, and in a time specifically set aside by God as a time of probation, he was on probation. I think we understand what that means. During this time of probation, the serpent points out a tree in the middle of the garden of which God had said to Adam and Eve, "You shall not eat of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. One single tree out of all the trees that God had created and planted in the world, and quite a number of them, only one was the subject of this prohibition. And we know what prohibition often may do. It arises in our hearts a desire to cross the line. And the devil used that kind of idea and approached Adam and Eve, and through a temptation brought about a sin against the law of the garden. And of course, it was not the devil's fault that Adam and Eve broke the law of the garden. As the t-shirt would say, the devil made me do it, or the bumper sticker, no. They did it. Kind of reminds me of a time when I was little and I was running through the living room and a lamp jumped off the table. It's strange how these things happen. And when my mother asked me, well, you know, it just jumped off the table. You want to avoid responsibility, don't you? Well, we can't avoid responsibility here. And that's what our text is about. Adam and Eve broke the law of the garden. They sinned blatantly against God. And our text tells us, just as through one man, sin entered the world. Sin had already entered the heavenly realms through the devil and the apostasy of the devil. And now sin enters the world itself. And it enters the world and brings death with it. Just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin. Why is there death in the world? Adam and Eve sinned against God. God promised that there would be death which would ensue, and death entered the world, and so death came. And the text tells us further in verse 12, so death spread to all men. And I was fascinated by this, that through the sin of the first couple, our first parents, death spread. And you can just have a picture of disease spreading across the face of the earth. One reason I was fascinated by the word that's used here is that it's the same word that is used of Jesus when he went throughout the cities of Galilee and Judea to spread the gospel. And it's a duty that we have to spread the gospel. Adam and Eve, through their sin, brought death, which spread across the world. And we must spread the gospel. Well, that's a little off the point, but you get the idea, I think. And then you have those fateful words at the end of verse 12, because all sinned. Just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. And the text does not say, because all were thought to have sinned. The text does not say, because all were considered to have sinned. The text does not say that God looked at the world and imputed sin because it was that he wanted to do that. It says they all sinned. And in Romans 3:23, it's exactly the same word. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is sin which is accomplished. And we have to ask the question, how is it that all sinned? And this is the message that Paul is trying to drive home, that all sinned in Adam. Oh! And we shudder at the prospect. All sinned in Adam. That's the lesson. That's how it fits together. That's what he's saying. And we have to understand that there is such a close connection of each one of us to Adam that when he sinned, we sinned. We've got a little dog at home. It's a little girl dog. And she has a gray beard because she's getting a little older. And she's a registered puppy. Now, you do know what that means, don't you? She has papers that you have to pay for. And those papers indicate that the genealogy of this puppy has been overseen and protected so that we know who the parents were and the grandparents, etc., etc., etc. And some of you that raise cattle have registered cattle. The genealogy, you know, and that's important for breeding. Now, at the risk of seeming a little crass and gross, the same principle applies to us. We are registered human beings. And our genealogies are so known that it is inevitable that each one of us is tied to Adam. We go back to him. We are of his stock. We are of his race. And it doesn't matter if you're Asian or Caucasian or of another race, so-called. We are one because we go back to Adam. There is a solidarity in humanity. We are of one blood. We need to get this through our heads, this multiculturalism that has so invaded and pervaded our society and broken us apart is a tragedy. There is a solidarity in the race, in humanity. And we do all go back to Adam to such an extent that when he sinned in this probationary period, we sinned. That's the lesson of the text. To help you understand this, let's look at an example in Hebrews. We read from Hebrews 7 a little bit ago. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 7. And we note the solidarity of humanity in a particular part of it in Hebrews chapter 7. I'd like to read from verse 4 in Hebrews 7. Which talks about Melchizedek and how Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, and a descendant of Abraham was Levi. And the text tells us that because of the solidarity between Abraham and Levi, Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek. From verse 4 in Hebrews 7. Now observe how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. And those indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest's office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brethren, although these are descended from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them, that is, Melchizedek, collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In this case, mortal men received tithes. But in that case, one received them of whom it is witnessed that he lives on. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes. And how did Levi pay tithes? Verse 10 tells us, for he was in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And the solidarity of the race is exemplified there. And this is what Romans 5 is getting at. Turn back to Romans 5:12. This is the lesson. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. How? In Adam. That's the point. Now let's move on to verse 13, because verses 13 and 14 explain verse 12 a little bit.
For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. There was a period of time in the world between Adam and Moses when the moral law was not in existence as a written code. That's what Paul is talking about. And the idea here is the idea of some who would like to legalize marijuana. Well, why do they want to do that? Well, if you take away the law, then if you smoke marijuana, you're not guilty of breaking the law, right? If you take away the law. And that's what verse 13 is talking about. For until the law, there was sin in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So there was this time in the world when the Ten Commandments did not exist in a written form. But even though that's the case, sin was present in the world. Sin was still there. For some reason, sin still existed. And the argument of Paul is that sin still existed. Even though the Ten Commandments hadn't been laid out yet, sin still existed because everyone sinned in Adam. See, that's the argument. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses. See, same concept. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. In this period between Adam and Moses, sin existed. And Paul says men and women did not sin like Adam and Eve sinned. What does that mean? The sin Paul is talking about is not like the sin of Adam in verse 14. You see, even if the Ten Commandments are not present in a written way before us, it's possible to sin out. We all have a conscience, and we're all moral beings. And the reason we have a conscience and we're all moral beings is God has made us this way. And when we violate that which we know is right, the one who does not do that which he knows is right sins. That's the case. But you see, the sin that Paul is talking about is not a sin like Adam. Adam had a voice from God. God said, "You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die." He broke that law. We have a voice from God in our hearts, in our consciences. And when we violate our consciences, we sin. Look at verse 14 again. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. And the point Paul is making here is that the sin he's talking about in verse 12 is not a sin like Adam's. It's the sin of Adam. We didn't sin, Paul is saying, initially. Like Adam, we sinned in Adam. And because we sinned in Adam, death spreads to us. And we die. This is heavy-duty stuff. Who enjoys it when we see sickness and death come upon an infant? None of us. Yet that death comes. Why? Verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sin. How? In Adam. In Adam. And we die. And so that's why I say in the fourth point in the outline, we die because we sinned in Adam and we fell with him, whether we believe it or not. And some do not believe it. Some do not believe the truth of God. But it is the truth of God. Okay, that's the bad news. And I've got two other points. Christ died on the cross for those who trust his sacrifice as the only adequate payment for Adam's sin. And we participated in that sin. And every individual sin they have ever or will commit. Jesus Christ came into the world to die on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty for sin. And he died, friends. He died. That was the penalty for sin. He died. And he proved that his death was an adequate payment for sin by rising again from the dead. And those who believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the only sacrifice adequate to cover the sin in which we are embroiled because of Adam and because subsequently of our own actions, those who trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to cover the death penalty. So we're back to Romans 5:12. Just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sin. Those who trust in the sacrifice of Christ as the only adequate payment for those sins and the sin of Adam have right standing with God. See, that's the gospel. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's where freedom is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Life through Christ. Death in Adam. Life in Christ. Dead in Adam. Alive in Jesus Christ. See what a wonder is. And whether we believe it or not, we are embroiled in the sin and death that Adam brought into the world. And we need Jesus Christ. And we need his sacrifice applied to our hearts and lives. And not only so, we must have the past covered.
But the future must also be taken care of. It's not only that sin and the sin of Adam is blotted out, but we are not left on our own. We are not left on our own to make our own way to heaven. We are not left on our own to earn our salvation then. We are also given another precious gift. The fact that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. And those who trust the perfect life of Jesus Christ as their access to heaven and do not trust their own good works, so called, as an adequate stepladder to get them to heaven. You go up that stepladder, you're going to be on your tiptoes reaching and you'll fall off. It's only the good life, the righteousness, the good deeds of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ has done, that gains us access to heaven. So the sacrifice of Christ on one hand covers the past, covers our sins. And on the other hand, the perfect life of Jesus Christ gains us access to heaven. And it is through faith in and trust in this righteousness of Christ, this goodness of Christ, that is our salvation and access to glory. What a wonderful thing it is. Drop down in Romans 5 now and look at verses 18 and 19. And you'll get the drift of it, I think. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. Life in Jesus Christ. Death in Adam. Life in Christ. Verse 19. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, death in Adam, even so through the obedience of the one the many will be made righteous, life in Christ. And although we may not believe the one that is death in Adam, it doesn't matter. We're embroiled in it. Believe it or not. And whether we trust in Jesus Christ, His sacrifice, and His righteous life makes the difference. You must trust Him. You must follow Him. And by the grace of God alone are you enabled to do so. Come to Christ. And although the past may have been a death related to Adam, come to Christ, and there is a life, dear friends, a life eternal in Him. Let's pray together. Father, help us to grasp this gospel, because it relates to the fact that we are dead in sin, dead in trespasses, dead in Adam. And it also relates to the great truth, Father, thank you, that we are indeed made alive in Christ. I pray, O God, that you would make alive in Jesus Christ through faith those of us here this morning who yet remain dead in Adam. Make us alive. Do your gracious work. Cause faith to arise in our hearts. And cause us, O God, by your gracious work, to embrace the death and the life of
the only Savior. We pray in Jesus' name.